Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is time to call Paul. It's Paul Imig, our green and gold analyst. Mr. Imig. What's
up? Mr. Holden.
What's going on,
buddy?
It's all good, man. Just hanging out. And, I mean, you know, Joe just has done a good job. He's put bubble wrap around everything here, so I can't blow anything up.
Right. He's the protector of the kingdom, and then you just kind of step in for 4 hours and don't screw it up, right?
It's the best thing ever. It really works out great because he's making sure that all the special artifacts stay intact. Nothing falls off. Like, I'm not the Labrador dog whose tail is knocking stuff off of tables. That would be me otherwise.
Right. Yeah. Way to go, Joe. Keep up the good work, buddy. Lazoon, you know.
It's the most underrated job, I think, in media, having to, you know, contain us here in a situation like this. Paul, this win over the Bears was fun because it starts the season off, and it was great to see the defense do what it did, even if it was Mitch Trubisky. But ..
Right.
We'd be singing a different tune if the Packers didn't have that one touchdown pass to Jimmy Graham. I'm not even going to say the word concern, but how you feel about how that offense looked in the first week?
Yeah, not good, right? I mean, it didn't look good. And, you know, I didn't think to say this to Bill on Friday. The conversation went a different direction. But for yourself, Kevin, and Joe, I mean, that touchdown pass to Jimmy Graham, I just have to say it out loud, was the most un-Rodgers-like touchdown pass I think I've ever seen him throw. What do I mean by that? I mean that he threw a 50-50 ball. Aaron Rodgers doesn't throw 50-50 balls. He let Jimmy Graham go and win a one-on-one battle in the end zone and just be the taller, stronger, better hands guy. I've seen some people describe it as a bad pass. I don't want to say it's a bad pass. It's just not an Aaron Rodgers pass. Did that one, like, floor you as much as it did me?
It did a little bit because it came on the heels of the ball to MVS where he's throwing, it wasn't across his body, but in a different direction from where he's looking. Like, that was, it was almost like Favre quarterbacked that series.
It was so, yes, it was weird, man. And so, like, when I was watching the game, I was watching it with my wife, and I just made, like, a comment about, you know, I think that was a bad throw. But then you watch it again, it's like, it wasn't bad as much as it was just not his normal thing. And that's the only play that you really score on. Not really score. It's the only play you score on. There was they were offensively challenged. And I think really if you look at the 39 yards that Aaron Jones gained on the ground, he did that work himself. I mean, I think very highly of Aaron Jones. Let me say that up front as a running back. I think most NFL running backs, even like, you know, the average to good ones, would have had far fewer than 39 yards. So I think that's a run-blocking question. I think interior of the defensive of the offensive line for the Packers didn't perform very well. Now, there was only one team, defensive line speaking, that is going to be as good all year as the Chicago Bears. Unfortunately for the Packers, that's who they're about to see Sunday, and that's the Minnesota Vikings, who have a defensive line that is every bit as good as Chicago. So, you know, you can expect to lose some interior battles when you're going up against defensive lines that good, and I really think there are not even trying to be, like, you know, very NFC North-centric, but I think the Bears and the Vikings, most people would tell you, should have the two best defensive lines in football. Rodgers said it after the game, Kevin, so this isn't, like, you know, some hot take alert. He said that he told Matt LaFleur, I'll be better. Great game, great win, congratulations, I promise I'll be better. Rodgers wasn't good. He, you know, not by, like, Rodgers standards, but he just wasn't very good. And, you know, fortunately for the Packers, they won a defensive-minded football game, and Mike Pettine was the MVP, and Za'Darius Smith was worth every penny that they spent on him in the offseason. Adrian Amos was spent on in the offseason. That Darnell Savage being moved up to pick him and play every single snap from a free safety perspective. Yeah, they covered Rodgers' butt that game. They covered the offensive line's butt that game. Some of the pass blocking was okay. Brian Bulaga specifically on the right edge was really good. But no, there is a ton to clean up offensively, and the problem is, it's hard to clean that up against the Minnesota Vikings, who have a very, very good defense as well.
Yeah, you touched on where I'm going with my next question, which is, it is almost a tradition for the last 8 or 9 years to have any sort of signing or any sort of new player come in, and if they don't perform great in that first week, we start to go, oh, no, maybe we shouldn't have spent that money. Oh, my right. goodness. And isn't it great that the lines are clear of that right now, that Za'Darius Smith just came out? And, I mean, it was – and I was saying this earlier in talking to Eric Baranchik from the Green Bay Press-Gazette. It was like a mentality difference. I mean, they are a more physical defense, but they believe – that they should be an elite defense. And that, to me, is the biggest change that's happened.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that Bill and I have talked about for years is, man, do you think this is the year that they're a top half of the league defense? Is this the year they're a top half of the league defense? And there was a point after free agency and after the draft where if I recall correctly, I kind of had Bill do like a really type of take, which was I felt after free agency and after the draft, I said, I think this has to be I think if Mike Pettine doesn't have this as a top 12, maybe top 10 defense, it would be a failure. That's how good I think they are on paper defensively. And it was like, wow. Like, but what I saw in week one, of course, I mean, naturally made that type of take seem extremely good because they were, I mean, Za'Darius Smith, I don't care if you want to give out five game balls, five stars, if you want to rank him on a scale of 1 to 100, he gets a perfect grade. He's an A+. He's a five-star. He's a 100 out of 100 performance. Adrian Amos, of course, had the interception that is a game changer because turnovers in a game in which, yeah, Rodgers struggled. You know what Rodgers didn't struggle with? He didn't turn the ball over again. You know, that was very, very key, especially when pressure was caving in. So Amos comes up with, of course, the game-changing, game-saving, call what you want, interception at a very crucial moment. Preston Smith, I don't think, got like the highlight play per se until that very last sack on fourth down. But on that play alone, you saw why Preston Smith was so valued because he waited. He delayed his rush, and when the opening created, he rushed in there. Now, that's, you know, the intention of this comment isn't to throw a shade at Kyler Fackrell or to Reggie Gilbert, who they traded for a seventh-round pick, but that's why you give, what was it, $55 million to Preston Smith. 4 years of veteran savvy of a guy who's extremely detailed in that type of work and who made a great play at a critical time. And then, like I said last, I mean, Brian Gutekunst, one game in out of 16, yes, there's a lot of time to go. These guys could play worse, they could get hurt. There's so many things that could make that investment look different a few games from now. But one game in, every single penny of those contracts to those three guys was well worth it, that's for sure.
So, with one game out of the way, and one very tough team out of the way in the Bears, I mean, that's no slouch to beat in your opener, you switch to a team that is Bears-esque in some ways, but has a much better running back in Dalvin Cook. And Dalvin Cook was showing some things in that opener yesterday, topping the 100-yard mark, reaching the end zone, all that good stuff. Is it going to be that much tougher, you think, to contain Dalvin Cook here in week two?
I love Dalvin Cook, but I feel like what you said throws more shade than I would at, say, David Montgomery or Tariq Cohen, who I'm trying to think of a better like duo in the NFL than Montgomery and Cohen. Now, I think the Bears' mistake was that they didn't give him the ball. Like, I don't know why they had Trubisky throw it all over the yard rather than just giving it to their two talented running backs. But Dalvin Cook, I would agree, singularly, is a better running back than, I mean, he's got to be top five in the league when he's healthy. I know he's coming off, you know, a torn ACL after his rookie year, after only a few snaps or a few games, I should say. But he's extremely talented. That is going to be a huge test. There's no doubt about it. And I think what Minnesota will do, if you look at, like, their run-pass distribution, the Vikings yesterday against Atlanta, what was the number of Kirk Cousins' total passing attempts? Wasn't it under 10?
I think it was 10, yeah.
I think it was, I mean, like, now that is what the Bears should be doing. That's probably what the Bears will be doing. And I think it's what you see with the new offensive system in place in Minnesota. That's what they're going to do. They are going to ground and pound the ball. They're going to control the clock. They're not going to make the mistake that Matt Nagy did with Mitch Trubisky in week one. Because I do not have a high opinion, it's easy to say it now after week one. I didn't have a high opinion of Trubisky. I do not have a high opinion of Kirk Cousins. But if all you're going to ask these guys to do is be like a supplementary piece of the offense, they can do that. They're not bad quarterbacks. They're just not guys that you want to be throwing the ball and featuring as your main component of your offense, which is why you have a Dalvin Cook, which is why you have a Montgomery and a Cohen in Chicago. So you don't have to ask your very average quarterback to dominate the game for you. So, yeah, so I'm very much expecting a Dalvin Cook show come noon kickoff time in Green Bay on Sunday.
I cannot wait to get to it. I know it's, 6 days off, but it's been fun, and this 10 days between games thing is is a little bit on the wild side, but it does give us a chance to talk a lot of stuff. So with that in mind, let's pivot, because we're coming up on the fall TV season.
Ooh.
And as you know, Paul Emig, you know that I depend on you because I am, for a person that works in TV, I see less TV than anybody. And so I need help. What's out there?
Good question. Did you catch up on anything over the summer break when you were out with your injuries and everything else? Did you watch anything or did you just play PS2 baseball video games or whatever the heck that was I saw you playing on Twitter?
MVP 2004.
That mean no TV? It was just MVP 2004.
We did. Let's see. What did we watch? We watched. We've watched Parks and Recreation now from end to end. And of course, you know, Archer, Brockmire. Like we've done the basics, but we didn't venture much. Like the wifey's into Downton Abbey right now, but no, I'm not going there.
No, pass. Okay, so I am about to watch. Maybe Joe has seen Mindhunter season 1 on Netflix. I'm about to watch Mindhunter Season 2, a very interesting show on Netflix. If you haven't seen it, now, the writer and creator of Parks and Rec created and wrote a show called The Good Place. They are about to go into their fourth and final season on NBC. I don't know how I could possibly highlight it in 10 seconds or less, so I would just say to look up The Good Place. It's featuring Ted Danson and Kristen Bell. So you know what? You liked Parks and Rec, and that's one of the very few shows I've been able to convince you to watch. So why don't we start with that? You check out, so you can see it out. You can catch up on Netflix on The Good Place, and then if you want to watch something more serial drama-y, try out Mindhunter Season 1, and then we can maybe watch Season 2 together and see what we think in tandem.
I don't know what I would do without it, Ivic. I really don't. I mean, if I left to my own devices, I've got Richie Sexson hitting home runs at Miller Park on my television.
You know, that's Kevin, when I saw your tweets, that was the strangest part about it. Is like, can't you at least go get something from the last 15 years? Like, it's MVP 04, man. Come on.
Well, you want to know why though, right? I don't know if I ever explained why.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
So, I had the ruptured Achilles and I had the surgery. And as you know, the first 4 or 5 or 6 days after surgery, you are not a very sound mind. I needed something simple. Cause if I was going to try to play, buy something new and play it, I was worried I was going to get my rear end kicked.
Well, yeah, but that's okay. A lot has changed in 15 years. Richie Sexton, by the way, is retired. I don't know if you had heard.
He didn't play yesterday. I thought he hit the 3-run homer.
Oh, no, that's this other guy who was 10 years old in 2004 named Tyler Austin.
Okay, thank goodness. Thank goodness you're here to set me straight.
Maybe he was 8 years old. How old was Tyler Austin in 2004 when that video game came out? A young, young kid.
Literally probably 10 years old. That's crazy. Paul.
Third grade.
Much appreciated, sir. Thanks again. And of course, we'll talk to you more as we get closer to Packers-Vikings on Sunday.
You know it. See you, Kevin.
See ya. Paul Emig, Green and Gold Analyst here on the Bill Michaels Show, Joe.
And join us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. They work hard, you work hard, they treat you fair. For 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.